we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here on Wednesday. We are thankful that you have chosen to make WMIE 91.5 FM a part of your day, or you may be listening on WWBC 1510 AM. And, there are times that I walk into a room and 10:30 of a morning and it's like, hey, I know that voice. That's me. We want to thank you for however you avail yourself of the Refresh Radio program. And this is the Passion Week. A lot of times the world thinks of passion as, you know, an emotion that is driven, you know, as an act of love. But actually, passion means suffering. So when Mel Gibson titled his movie The Passion of the Christ, that was the suffering of the Christ. It's an entirely different thing. So if you are passionate about something, you are willing to pay the price for that, and God is passionate about you. He is passionate about me, and he was willing to pay the price so that we could be reconciled to him. He did all of the work, paid all of the price for my sin and your sin so that we could be reconciled to him. He did the hard part. All we've got to do is believe. All we've got to do is allow him to be the Lord of our life and to lead us on a daily basis. And so my concept of redemption is this: he paid the price. Therefore, I am as, what was that group called, Kirk Franklin and God's Property. I am God's property. I am God's property. He's the commander in chief. He's the boss. I'm not. And so I pray this week that you will come to fully appreciate the price that God paid for you. If you get a chance, maybe watch one of the either the Jesus film or the Passion of the Christ, and allow that to be a reminder to you of exactly how precious you are to God, how much he values you, and to what extent he had to go in order for him to be a righteous and true God. He had to go to the cross for my sin and for your sin. He loves you and he loves me immensely. So we have been talking about sowing to the Spirit. I want you to know that that concept on Jezreel, which we talked about, I believe, on one of last week's programs, that means God will sow. Jehovah Jireh means God will provide himself. And I believe that when God sows, he not only sows you and me into our communities for such a time as this, but he's able to do that because he sowed himself for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for today and tomorrow and possibly Monday next week. Friday I have a program that I do every good Friday. So we'll see what we can get to today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand by, or in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me as by one born out of due time. In Galatians chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8, we see that Jesus Christ is the seed. He is the seed of David, and he was raised from the dead. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, we learn that we are born of incorruptible seed. Jesus came. The reason that he went to the cross was because, as we will see later on in this passage of Scripture, he was going to be the first fruits of those who have perished. He was going to be the seed that would be harvested. He was the first fruit. He was going to be offered up to God so that there would be an even greater harvest of those who believed in Jesus Christ. I want you to see today that it is not just one of the ways that people are saved. Jesus Christ going to the cross as a sinless man and a sinless God. He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. He lived on this earth, dwelt among us, and he did it to fulfill all the law and the prophets. He went to the cross, not because of his sin, but because of my sin, your sin, the sin of his day, the sin of our time. He did it to take away. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so there are a lot of people who listen or who believe that Jesus is just one of the ways to God, that it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you sincerely believe it. Well, if you sincerely believe that down is up and up is down, it does make a difference. If you sincerely believe that you can fly and you step off the end of a building, you will suddenly find out that you are subject to the law of gravity and you cannot indeed fly by your natural design. Okay? So there, it does matter what you believe. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father but by me." So he came and he offered himself. It says here that this is the gospel that I declare to you. He said, "Moreover, and I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, that Christ died for our sins," verse 3, "according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And so I want you to see today that everything that God went through not only fulfilled the law and the prophets, but it has a manifest reality. It has changed our destiny. It changes our nature. We'll see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is an absolutely glorious, glorious passage of Scripture. So let's look down at verse number 12. "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." Okay? So it says, if Christ is preached and he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Several years ago, I was watching the customary documentaries on Jesus by liberal thought personnel, and they all featured the same theologian. Out of all the theologians, out of all of the Bible-believing voices that are out there, they all pick the same one, a person who does not believe in the inerrancy of the Scripture, a person who does not believe in miracles, did not believe in the virgin birth, did not believe in any of the signs and wonders that Jesus did, didn't believe in any of that, and yet even this theologian, when it came down to the concept of the resurrection, he said that the life of the believers, the life of the apostles and the disciples, after Jesus' death, the only explanation for their behavior and for the massive spread of the gospel, the only explanation as to why Paul would live the life that he lived, Peter would live the life that he did, James was, and John and the other apostles lived and died the way that they did, the only explanation he could come up with is that the resurrection is true. And he said it not just on one network. I saw him on three different networks, and he was letting people know the resurrection takes place. We, Emerit Assembly of God, this Sunday, we title it Resurrection Sunday. That's what we title it. I understand that the world has its label, and they can use their label if they want to, but what makes that day special for me is the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. I'll be honest with you, sunrise services, I've had them, been to them. That's all fine, well, and good, but it's the resurrection. It is the fact that his grave is empty, that he has ascended. He was seen by many witnesses. That makes a huge difference in my life and gives us hope for the future, because Jesus came and he is the incorruptible seed. That means that we have hope for a completely revolutionized life. He says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And he goes on and he says, and if Christ isn't risen, then every believer who has ever died is dead. He says, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that my faith is not empty. You see, when you have had an encounter with God, I'm not talking about a philosophical encounter. I'm talking about an encounter with God that affected you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that left you transformed. 2 weekends ago, a movie came out, I can only imagine, and it did so much better than what they projected that it would do. And really, faith movies continue to be some of the best return on investment of any movies out there. And the story behind that movie was the guy from Mercy Me wrote that song about his father, who he describes as a monster whose life was completely and radically changed. And he wrote the song after his father died and after they'd been reunited and had become best friends, so to speak. He wrote that movie about what his dad was experiencing as a born again believer after he was promoted into eternity. And he said this: I knew that if the gospel could radically change my father, it can radically change anybody. And so I'm just so thankful that our faith is not empty. It is that radical lifestyle change that breaks the power of sin and wrecks the stronghold of the enemy and sets believers free, and the grace of God empowers them to live the way God always wanted them to live. That is what we celebrate today. Celebrate this weekend, is the fact that Jesus Christ has truly been raised up. He says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. I want you to notice here that he says the resurrection doesn't mean that when you die, you die. What Paul makes the connection here is that if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, we still have a sin debt before the Heavenly Father, and we have an eternity to look forward to that has no God in it. It has nothing about the presence of God. That's the reality. Listen, today there are people that say, well, I'm a good person. You've got to remember that Jesus' definition of good was God. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And there, you don't get to heaven by being an American. You don't get to go to heaven because you are rich or because you are poor. You don't get to go to heaven because you are popular or unpopular. You don't get to go to heaven because you were bullied or victimized or any other metric. There's only one way that our sins are forgiven, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we are baptized, we identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is what prevents our faith from being empty or futile and causes us to be set free from our sins. Paul writes this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Now I will tell you this. I believe that living as a believer is the highest quality of life this world has to offer. You say, well, what about people who have all that money? Have you looked at them? You see, when they have money, then they spend all of their time trying to keep that money. They're trying to protect it because they worked so hard to get it. Now they don't want to let go of it. And so there's no joy in that. There's no peace. There are maybe a few luxuries and a few accommodations that they get to experience, but they don't have any eternal peace. Well, what about fame and fortune? Have you looked at any headlines? Many of those people are absolutely messed up. And you can find people messed up. You can find people in the ministry that are messed up. You can find people in churches that are messed up. But I tell you, you go and look at those lives of celebrities that are famous and household names, and you will find a great proportion of those people aren't happy at all. They've got everything the world has to offer, and yet they can't get along with one another. But the good news is, even though that I believe being a Christian is the greatest lifestyle that is available on this planet, it is not the best. The best for us is still yet to come. We are looking forward to a day where that place that Jesus has been preparing for us is got a project completed. It is finished. And that we get to go and be with him forever and ever. And that's what we are really looking forward to. Verse number 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward those who are Christ at his command, at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he who has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. So let's look at this. But now that means that there's an alternative to that empty, futile, miserable life that was just being described, a life built upon a false pretense of a resurrection that didn't happen. Thank God the resurrection did happen. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Today, we have an advocate at the right hand of the Father, Christ, the righteous. We have an intercessor who is interceding for you and for me, that we would have everything that we need. And he says, he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Well, when you look at those, at that term first fruits, you've got to go all the way back and realize that that was a term that was ascribed to harvest. The first fruits were that which was offered to God. And it was indicative of the reality that there was another harvest that was coming. You and I, we get to stare death in the face with faith because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So Paul would write later on in this chapter, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory, it says in verse number 55. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, because of what I've experienced, he says, you have that to look forward to as well. I like to describe the reality that a believer's casket is equipped with an unseen spiritual ejection seat, that when that trumpet sounds, that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. And there, I don't know about you, but that's going to be a launch that every person that's alive and every believer who's ever perished, that, man, we all get to be a part of that. It's going to be quite an adventure. He says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, I want to address something here, because there are some people who've taken this scripture and they have concluded that everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's ever lived, that they're all going to be saved. It's a doctrine that's called universalism. And I want you to know that you're not going to find that is an accurate portrayal of the Word of God, because if that was the case, then the rich man would not be in hell in Jesus' teaching. You would not find passages of Scripture that talk about, and these all went down to the grave because God opened up the earth underneath them. You see, there is a universal availability of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that there is a human right exists that is called the human right, that every person on planet Earth has the right to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ presented to them in their language, in a manner in which they will be able to understand, and a way that they can say, you know, that they can make a sound decision on what they're going to do with Jesus Christ. Okay. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of all the world, but you have to be willing to bow your knee and use your tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those same people who believe in universalism would oftentimes have some exceptions carved out. Well, this person was too horrific, this person was too evil, and all of that. And we want to try and minimize God's standard. We want to try and lower the bar. I want you to know that God's way has always been the best way for me, and so I'm going to stick with that. It says, but each one, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. Okay, let me drop down to verse number 35, and then we'll touch on this a little bit. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. And so here we see in verse number 36 that what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Jesus said that those who try to save their life will lose it, and those who are willing to lose their life will find it. And that means that if I'm willing to set aside my goals and my dreams and my aspirations and lay them down, and I'm willing to give up all that I have for the lover of my soul, the Lord who died for me, that I'm going to find greater fulfillment, greater life, greater joy, greater peace than what I would have ever discovered on my own. Those who are afraid to give up anything, they will end up losing that very thing that they have. You know, in the parable of the servant, it was the servants who had all been trained by the same master. The guy with the most to lose was also willing to let go of it all because he trusted the training that the master had implemented in his life. The guy with the middle amount had the second most to lose, but both of those saw a great harvest. The only person who did not see a harvest was the person who said, you know what? I'm so afraid of what my master would say if I lost this one little bitty talent that I'm just going to bury it in the ground. I'm just not going to do anything with it. And when he comes back, I'm going to hand it back to him. And that it was taken away from him and given to one who was titled, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so today I want to encourage you, when God asks you to put something into his hands, recognize that those are some very capable hands. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which has been committed unto him against that day. And so I just want to build your faith today. You know, later this week will be Good Friday, and we're on towards Resurrection Sunday. And that resurrection, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it changed history. It changed your reality. It changed your present day. It's going to change your eternity. No matter what challenges you're facing today, look up, for your King is still on the throne. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.